Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church of Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we are so glad to be able to share the Word of God with you here on these radio stations this morning. What a great privilege it is to be able to do that. Now, this morning, we're going to continue a broadcast that we started 2 weeks ago about a question that my sister texted me over my cell phone. I was just kind of out of the blue several weeks ago in the evening, and the question came from a friend that she had just gotten to know a little bit, and they were having her and her husband over for dinner, and they were down by the lake just talking about life and this and that and the other, and her friend Julia asked her a question, and she said, you know, I've asked people this all my life, and nobody's ever been able to give me an answer. And so here was what the question was. The question was, are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Now, I don't know what interest Julie had in dinosaurs or how it got on that topic or what, but I'll tell you what, dinosaurs are a fascinating subject. When I was a young man, I was in love with dinosaurs, anything dinosaur. I loved it. I had little plastic figurines of dinosaurs, and boy, I knew all the names of the dinosaurs. And when I was in second grade, I won the runner-up to the Best of the Show award for a science project where I actually drew out the different time periods that science says that dinosaurs lived in, i.e. the Triassic, the Jurassic, and the Cretaceous. And so I did all that with the different dinosaurs that were supposedly part of each one. And I was able to win runner-up at the Best of the Show. I think that was in second grade, so ooh. But anyway, dinosaurs have always fascinated me. In fact, I actually thought about being a paleontologist. You know, one of those guys that goes around and digs up old dinosaur bones and fossils. But that never happened. But I'm still interested in dinosaurs. And I was very happy and pleased to find out that once I really began studying the Scriptures as a young man of 20, that indeed the Bible does talk about or mention what we would probably call dinosaurs. Now, as far as the actual word dinosaur being in the Bible, in the Scriptures, no, it's not in there. It's not part of the translation. But as we are going to begin right after our first song this morning, we're going to take a look again real quick at why we can know, or at least why I believe that the Scriptures teach us that dinosaurs were indeed a reality and that the Bible does talk about them. So let's go ahead and listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Lincoln Brewster called Everlasting God. And, you know, that's really where it boils down to, isn't it? That God is everlasting. He was and is and will always be. He is the great eternal God. There is no other God. There's no one before. There's no one after. God is. And God is the one from whom all things come from. He spoke into existence from nothing what we understand as the physical universe that we are a part of. So we'll talk about that more as soon as we listen to this first song this morning again, Everlasting God by Lincoln Brewster. Let's listen.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. You reign forever. Our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do not fade. You won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon.
What a great song. Everlasting God. That means that God has always existed from eternity. And somebody says, well, how did he do that? Who's God's father and mother? Well, God doesn't have a father or mother. He's just God. And somebody says, well, I kind of find that hard to believe. And how can you explain that? I can't. All I can say is that God is, and that God has revealed himself to us in creation. He's revealed himself to us through his word, the scriptures, what we call the Bible, and he has especially revealed himself to us through his son, through Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, who was born in Bethlehem, who grew up, who was crucified on a cross, who was buried, who rose again on the third day, who ascended back into heaven and has been ruling and reigning in his kingdom since that time. That's the God of creation, whom many people kind of believe in, but at the same time, many don't. In the Bible, in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it just flat out says that because the people who this was being written to already believed in God. There didn't have to be any kind of persuasion or arm twisting or anything else like that. They already believed in God. They knew this God of creation who had delivered them out of bondage in Egypt. And as they were getting ready to go into this quote-unquote promised land, these writings were given to them to make sure and solidify them in their faith and in their understanding of who God was and who they were and how they were in relationship with him. And so that first verse, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's the basic general statement for everything else that follows. Okay, and so let's take a look at some other scriptures this morning that kind of add on to that understanding a little bit more. Excuse me, in Isaiah chapter 44, starting in verse 6. "This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one." You see, God is the God of creation. He is the everlasting God. Apart from him, there is no other God. In Isaiah chapter 43, just a chapter back, Isaiah 43 and verse 10, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days I am he. No one can deliver out of my hand. When I act, who can reverse it?" And one more in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, starting in verse 5. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 5. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and I will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." This is a prophecy of the Messiah that was to come, and how he was to be a servant of God, and how he would open the eyes that are blind and free captives from prison and release those who sit in darkness. But I want you to again see that he is the creator of the universe, just like Genesis 1:1 begins. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so what that means is that everything that is a part of our physical universe ultimately traces its roots or its beginning or its source back to God. God is the beginning of it. Now, someone will say, well, did God make my cell phone? Well, no, that would be pretty foolish. He didn't make your cell phone. Men that were created in his image made the cell phone, but they made the cell phone out of materials that God originally called into existence from eternity. Okay, so that's not hard to understand, is it? And so God is the beginning. And let's look at one more scripture in Job before we tackle this question about dinosaurs. Job chapter 12. You see, Job here actually appeals to the creation itself. Job chapter 12, verse 7. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. Or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature, and the breath of all mankind. You see, that's God. And if you go back to Genesis 1, like we did 2 weeks ago in our episode back then, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the rest of the verses kind of specify or break that down how he did that. Verse 3, God said, let there be light. And so there was light. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day. And he called the darkness night. Then there was evening and there was morning the first day. And so this is God taking his creation from disorder, if you would, to order. That he's arranging things. He's putting it together as he wants it. He's the one that creates these things and calls them out of nothing. And then in verse 6, God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. And so God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And so it was. And God called the vault sky. And there was morning and there was or evening and there was morning the second day. And so God separated the waters. He made a water canopy, as it were, we believe, all around the earth. Now, that's not there anymore because during the flood, that would have fallen to the earth. And it would have been a part of that huge universal deluge or flood that's part of Genesis 6 and 7 and 8, 9 and 10. But God created the sky, our atmosphere. He made it possible for there to be air and all of those things before creatures actually lived in it. Then in verse 9, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered in one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so, and God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters called seas, and God saw that it was good. And so now we have land and we have seas. And so we have the air, our atmosphere, we have land and we have sea. So we have environments for all the different kinds of creatures that God was now going to make. And yet before those creatures came into existence, he made what he needed to do in order to sustain them. In verse 11, God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees, and let the land bear all of these things. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning the third day. And so the land produced all kinds of vegetation and plants and all the things that are a part of that. And probably not only that, but also, you know, in the oceans as well and the things that were part of that. Verse 14, God said, then let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vaults of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And so God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And he also made the stars. And so on that fourth day, God said, you know, sun, moon, stars, the planets, the universe, all of those things, that was all part of his creation as well. And of course, you need to have the sun and its energy and its photosynthesis in this physical universe to cause the plants to go and give us life and the ability to live. And so God made it so. And now finally in verse 20, God said, let the waters teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. And so God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And so there's all of
all of the animals, all of what we would call the creatures of the sea and the creatures in the heavens, birds. And just because it doesn't name every single one of those, we believe that God was the one that created every single one of those. And then verse 24, God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. The livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And so God made all those things. So there's all of your land animals and the different ones that were made. And then finally God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so there you have an account of creation very quickly, albeit, and just going through it very quickly. But God is the one that created all those things. So here's the reasonableness and the logic of it. If we find these huge bones that belong to these great, not only marine animals, but huge birds, pterodons and rhamphorhynchuses and archaeopteryxes and all the other kinds of, you know, quote unquote, prehistoric birds that men have found. And then dinosaurs, whether carnivores or herbivores or anything in between, God ultimately was the creator of all those different kinds of animals. So are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? Yes, in Genesis chapter 1, but not by name specifically. We just believe and trust that God created all of those things. All right. And, you know, they had to come from somewhere. So again, do we want to just believe that they just evolved out of a bunch of soup that was kind of always there? Or do we believe that, hey, in the beginning, there was a powerful, intelligent, benevolent, good God who chose to create all of these things for an amazing purpose that only God knows ultimately, and yet that God has revealed to us in the pages of Scripture? It's what makes it so wonderful. All right, hey, let's listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns called Only Jesus. You see, all of these things of creation ultimately end up in the Lord Jesus, because it's not so much all of the rest of creation that God is concerned about firstly, but it's his highest part of the creation, mankind. And Jesus makes it possible for us to live and to live everlastingly with this amazing God of creation. So let's listen to Casting Crowns sing Only Jesus. Gail, this one's for you.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And
I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus.
All right, we're back this morning. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. We're not going to be able to finish it completely, but turn over to Job chapter 40 and verse 15. Job chapter 40, verse 15. Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has in its loins, what power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close-knit. Its bones are tubes of bronze, its limbs like rods of iron. It ranks first among the works of God, yet its maker can approach it with his sword. The hills bring it their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Under the lotus plants it lies, hidden among the reeds in the marsh. The lotuses conceal it in their shadow. The poplars by the stream surround it. A raging river does not alarm it. It is secure, though the Jordan should surge against its mouth. Can anyone capture it by the eyes or trap it and pierce its nose? In other words, I believe this is one of the great sauropods, one of the brontosauruses or diplodocuses or brachiosauruses or patasauruses or any one of those great big huge sauropods. It was just massive. And do you see where it says there in verse 15? Look at the behemoth which I made along with you. So yes, I believe that dinosaurs were in existence before humanity, but they were created all on the same day. And so this is a poetic picture of Behemoth. Now, we have one more, but we don't have time to look at it this morning, so we'll take a look at it next week. If you want to go ahead and read Job 41, you can. And this one sounds even more like a dinosaur than Behemoth, the Leviathan. Hey, we're the Church at Las Vegas. We'd love to answer your questions, get to know you a little bit better, point you to Jesus, only Jesus, like we heard in that song. We are located, we meet together at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We'd love to have you come join us on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Any and all of those times. Of course, you can go on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and learn more about us there. And hey, until next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. God bless you.